Eastern Michigan's Darius Jackson had 14 touchdowns on the ground last year, which was a new school record. He also had 1,078 rushing yards to cap off his senior season.
In the seventh round of the 2010 NFL Draft, the Green Bay Packers picked Buffalo's James Starks. This was the last time a true running back was drafted from a current MAC school.
Welcome to Tuesday Night Lights. Welcome to Tuesday Night Lights, Hustle Belts and MAC Football Sided Podcast. I'm Alex Alvarado, your host, and along with me is Brandon Fitzsimons. Brandon, what's your favorite color?
Oh, you know, it's gold. All gold everything.
All gold everything. Because you're a Western alum, or is it because you think you're in first place all the time? Or
No, I got to get one of those grills that...
Travis Green?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
It's not a grill. It's gold.
That's one of my favorite things I've ever been a part of in any like post-game presser ever.
Greatest quote of all time.
Yeah. Thank you all for joining us today. We're really excited to get this thing going. We for people that have been a part of the Hustle Belt community for years, you might remember me and the old editor, Brian Vance, doing a podcast called The Mid-American Hustle. We had one going for a while, had some like upwards of like 30 episodes, maybe. I don't know. But that was a lot of fun. And then Brian left and then kind of left it all to me. And then I couldn't do it all. Brian did a lot of legwork that I was really thankful for. Anyways, time passed. Here we are again. And we decided that if we're going to do a podcast, we might as well, you know, change it up a little bit. And Brandon and I decided that we're just going to go just football only for the Mid-American Conference, because that's probably what we're best suited for, aside from BS stuff that has nothing to do with anything that is necessary for Hustle Belt to be up and running. But yeah, so today's pilot episode, we've got a now former Eastern Michigan running back. He's preparing for his name to be called and his number to be called on Sundays in the league. He recently broke the school record for rushing touchdowns with 14. I am very happy to say Darius Jackson is with us. Darius, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am doing just fine. And thanks again for sticking it out and, you know, being the brave one to join us on this podcast and not knowing really what we sound like or what we're going to do to you.
No problem. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah. And, I remember last week when we were texting back and forth to set this up, you know, you said today would be a better day because yesterday you were training with the Jets. How did that go?
Yes, sir. Just had a visit, talked to the entire staff. It was a really great visit.
Was that your first one, or did you
have other? It was actually my third one, yeah. I had a visit with the Chiefs last week and the Raiders, and then went to the Jets yesterday, and I have the Dolphins and Ravens next week.
Very AFC heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
Surprised to not hear the Lions or Colts, possibly the Browns, if you're willing to go into that situation.
I've talked to the Lions a couple times.
So what do they have you do at these camps? Is it just something that you might have been able to do practicing for the NFLPA Bowl, or
No, these visits are just pretty much meetings and physicals. I mean, they want to get you in there and with their doctors, you know, you do everything. They measure you. They check your medical records, you know, blood tests, drug tests, anything like that. And then pretty much just meeting with the coaches, talk football, talk life. Pretty straightforward.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because obviously I've never done that before. So I'm always kind of interested, like, you know, what do they do on these camps? Because I always hear of players, you know, meeting with staffs and possibly watching film if they're lucky enough. I heard through the grapevine, Roger Lewis, for example, visited the Patriots, and he watched film with their staff. So, I don't know. It's, and, like, maybe, like, Some teams do something different. I mean, do they ever like sit you, like, obviously you don't have to, you know, say specifics, but do some teams be like, hey, this is what we're looking at in a running back, and say the Jets are looking for a different type of running back or player, because there's also, you could also, you know, make a name for yourself on special teams if opportunity arises. But would you know, would teams say they're looking for a prospect for X spot to be different than, you know, what, you know, the Lions or the Browns or the Ravens might say for you?
I think in the end, they're just looking for the best athlete and running back available to them, you know? You know, we meet with every coach, special teams coach, offensive coordinator, the running back coach, head coach, and, you know, different coaches talk about different things. You know, the OC might get you on the board and watch them film. The running back coach, you'll watch them film with them and just chat it up. But as far as them being specific, I mean, obviously, I just feel like they want the best player at that position that they can get.
Now, it's like your first visits, there's a lot of firsts for you in this, because it's not like you've ever been through this cycle before. I mean, this has got to be completely different than, you know, you coming from Illinois to, you know, visit colleges to see what you want to spend, you know, 4 or 5 years for to get an education and then eventually get the pro job, you know. So this has all got to be very new for you. Have you had any like mentorship or, you know, someone, you know, try to show you the ropes? You're like, hey, this is kind of what I went through, so this is what you might want to expect. Did you ever get that kind of guidance?
I kind of had an idea just from meeting different players on the trips that's maybe been on a visit before, just kind of how the visits work. You know, my agent kind of knows a little bit how visits work. He's been in it for a while, and I'm just enjoying it pretty much. I mean, I got a chance to get some throws in with Blaine Gabbert this offseason and Michael Pruitt, tight end for the Vikings, and kind of ask them how this process is too. So I've gotten some good feedback, and I kind of knew what it was about, so it's fun just to – you know, take these trips, you know, enjoy these visits, and just enjoy the process.
What's something that they might have said to you that, you know, you actually really got, like, some good insight on? Like, again, obviously, you know, probably don't want to, you know, go too much into detail, but is there something that they might have said that really caught your attention?
I really had a lot of questions about, I guess the process after you get drafted, you know, how rookie mini camp goes and when we get with the vets and stuff like that, you know.
Okay. Let's just like rewind a bunch, you know, because obviously it's not like, you know, you were the highest regarded running back out of high school. And then it's not like you went to, you know, like Arkansas or whatever and then started for 3 years. It was kind of, you know, like you were kind of a name that was under the radar, and then you were still, you know, behind a few names, playing behind Bronson Hill and Ryan Brumfield recently. And then last year, you know, really caught, you know, the Mac by storm, got the school record for rushing touchdowns. And obviously, you know, Eastern's not the most, you know, doesn't get the most publicity for, you know, the reasons that, you know, you and I would wish that they would. But, you know, if people really want to pay attention to your skill set, then they obviously should, because I think there's, you know, there is a spot for you to, you know, have a chance at the league. So what was it like for you to, you know, come out of high school, and what was your recruiting process like, and why did you choose Eastern Michigan out of, did you have any other offers?
Coming out of high school, I'm coming from a small town in Sparta, Illinois. It's in Southern Illinois, about 4,000 people. So, it was hard to get exposure just for the fact that it was just such a small town. I mean, Illinois has 8 classes, you know, we're in class 2, you know, 2A. So, you know, it was just tough to get exposure. And, it came down to going to camps. Going into my senior year, I went to multiple camps, but the main camp I, went to that things really got going was the Northwestern camp. And, that day I got an offer from Northern Illinois and Eastern Michigan in the same day. And I kind of went from there. I took an official visit to Minnesota, but in the end, it was kind of down just to NIU or EMU. And, I just fell at home. You know, I like the coaching staff at EMU. I, I wanted, you know, I just ended up wanting to play for them. I like the players they were bringing in, and we had gone 6-6 that year, so it was just looking, you know, it was looking like a great situation to be in.
What was it like going through the coaching change? Because, you know, after that 6-6 year, you know, obviously things went down, and then, you know, a couple years ago was a, you know, a disaster for, you know, more than just the English reasons, you know. You know, the Demarius Reid, that's sad in itself, and we probably don't need to touch on that, you know, if you don't want to, because that's, yeah. I get that. But, you know, like, what was it going through, you know, such a tough time, like, overall with the community, and then to have Chris Creighton come in and try to change the culture just completely, you know, what's that been like through your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, right off the bat, it was just different. I mean, you know, a new head coach, a new position coaches, even a new strength coach, just an entirely different staff. Mm-hmm. But it actually went smoother than, you know, what you might expect. We just kind of gelled, you know. We had one-on-one meetings. I remember having having multiple meetings just to get to know each other, you know, the entire staff. And so it went smoother than we thought it would go, and it wasn't too bad. I really liked Coach Creighton, and I liked the staff he brought in, and I had fun the last 2 years I was there.
And I think one guy in the coaching staff that really stands out that doesn't get a lot of credit, Ron McKeefrey, the strength and conditioning coach. He's, you know, in that community of, you know, strength and conditioning coaches around the nation, of bodybuilders around the nation, McKeefrey is well regarded. You know, he has his own podcast, this, that, and the other. He gets a ton of publicity for one of his books that he wrote. You know, just him being around and like him helping you grow as an upperclassman meant to get to where you are now.
Yeah, I mean, Coach McKeefrey just got Strength Coach of the Year, so I mean, that's he was just recognized, which was great because he deserves it. And yeah, we've had a lot of probably the most time with any coaches, obviously Coach McKeefrey through the summer, I mean through the winter, through the spring, and he's obviously helped us grow in the weight room, but just, you know, grow as a person off the field. You know, we have a lot of life meetings, so I think he was great. He's a great coach, and glad Coach Creighton brought him along, and I'm glad he chose Eastern Michigan.
And you know, obviously it probably would have been really cool if he was around for your freshman year too, but you get to see the guys from the last couple of signing classes grow under his belt, you know, when they were just, you know, 17, 18, 19 years old. And in your senior year, you also had Shaq Van playing right behind you coming off of his redshirt year. You know, what do you see in him that could, you know, he could be like a trustworthy back for, you know, fans and, you know, the coaching staff, most importantly, probably to depend on?
Yeah. I mean, Shaq's a great running back. He had a great year last year, and I know he's going to tear it up next year. And I mean, he was only a redshirt freshman. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he has 3 more years to tear it up. He might, you know, he may break every record in the school. Just, he's got an opportunity to play early, and he took advantage of it. And, I think he'll have a great year next year, along with a few of our other backs.
Yeah, and and you just broke the school record for 14 rushing touchdowns. How soon or how late in the year did you start realizing that, you know, you could break this record? And, you know, what was that feeling like when you did?
Yeah, I honestly had no idea. You know, I didn't pay attention to the record. I didn't really, really pay attention to it, I guess, until maybe the last 2 games of the season when somebody brought it up to me. I was like, man, that would be pretty cool, you know. But obviously, if you think about it, that's when it doesn't happen. So you just got to not think about it and just go out there and play football. So going to the last game, I mean, I remember I think I was 2 below the record or maybe just 1 below the record. And I remember scoring, and everybody came up, hey, you tied it. So then it was like, oh, man, I can't think about it the rest of the game. And so.
Right, yeah, because that's just a distraction.
Right, it's just a distraction. And so the moment I stopped thinking about it completely was when I scored that last touchdown. So I mean, yeah, it was really exciting. The equipment staff have saved the ball for me and kept it for a couple of months because I didn't see him until I got back from training, and it was a pretty great moment.
Do you have that ball somewhere? Or
Yeah. They kept it for me and gave it to me, so it's at home. It's in a case right now.
Oh, that's awesome. So obviously, like, the season ended, so you got invited to the NFLPA Bowl where you could play and practice in front of scouts. What do you think is most impressive about your style of play, and how would you define yourself as a running back that, you know, scouts can look at and, you know, consider you a real prospect for their team as a running back? Like, what qualities do you possess? What are your strengths, and, you know, what weaknesses do you think you have to work on and have been working on?
Yeah, I feel like I'm a three down back for sure. I can get the job done in pass pro. I can catch the ball out of the backfield, and obviously as a running back, you know, you want to make plays and be able to tote the rock. And so I take pride in being physical, you know, physical and a smart runner. I guess as a running back, you always want to improve in your pass pro, you know, just getting low, hands inside and being aggressive and just keeping your pad level down. You know, that's always things you always want to think about and always work on.
You mentioned the pass pro is something that a lot of fans don't really notice. We just see it when the ball's in your hand and you go north or south. Where do you think you noticed a learning curve? Like, maybe that, not that like you became better at, you know, this skill set, or when do you notice that, like, okay, this is actually something that I have to work on? Was it like before your senior year? Was it like in high school that you had to notice this, or like when did like this become like a level of importance for you?
Pass pro has always been a level of importance, because I mean that's what really gets you on the field. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, when you don't have the ball in your hands, I mean, what are you doing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So pass pro has always been important. I just feel like as a running back, I really wanted to work on your footwork in the backfield, you know, in the backfield, making your cut so that you can make that cut that will ultimately get you yards. But in the backfield, I feel like, you know, jump cuts, being patient, things like that. Definitely, I'd say your footwork, you know, in the tight spaces inside of the tackles.
Yeah, obviously, at Eastern Michigan, you don't get a ton of exposure, and that can go ring true for any MAC school. And you elected to take part at the Pro Day at Michigan, where you put up some incredible numbers, a 4.35 40, 41 on inch vertical, and a 6.82 three cone time. Those immeasurables are off the charts. How much do you think taking part in that Pro Day really helped your draft stock?
Yeah, I mean, I knew what I was capable of, and I've been hitting those numbers for a while now, so I was just excited and anxious to get out there and do it in front of every scout. And you know, that obviously helped me a lot. You know, after that day, I've gotten multiple calls. You know, I've gotten some calls before, but after that day, I've gotten multiple calls, and things have really picked up. And you know, I'm just excited to see how things will play out in a couple of weeks for the draft, and just enjoying it, man.
And you talk about the draft. Where do you personally see yourself going, either round wise or if you don't get drafted, where would you personally like to go as an undrafted free agent?
Yeah, I don't really get caught up in, you know, whether you're going to be undrafted or drafted or what round or what city would you want to go. You know, I just know I'm confident in myself. I'll be ready to play ball for whoever chooses me. And, you know, we'll go from there. I'll let everything else work out itself. And I always say you control what you can control. So I'm just going to, you know, continue to be ready for, you know, whatever team wants me.
So what kind of played into the reason that you took part in the Michigan Pro Day versus just taking part in an Eastern Pro Day or another school's?
Yeah, in the end, I mean, I was just training to get ready for Pro Day. It really didn't matter, you know, where it was going to be. My agent, you know, told me, hey, listen, you know, I'm going to get you into Michigan's Pro Day, and that's where I want you to for taking Pro Day. And I was like, hey, you know, just let me know where I need to be. I'll bring my cleats, you know. So really, you know, and then I definitely wanted to go back to Eastern no matter what for my teammates. So after Michigan Pro Day or wherever Pro Day I was going to be in, I was no doubt going to be at our Pro Day.
We, you know, we briefly touched on the NFL Players Association Bowl. Can you talk a little bit more about that experience, just being able to go down and partake in that event and mingle with other prospective players in the draft?
Yeah, it was a fun time going out there and just having a fun week of practice, experiencing, kind of just playing with everyone from different places around the country, trading helmet stickers, getting experience NFL coaching, talking to vets. I just had a great time. I just soaked it all in, and it was a really fun week. And even talking to scouts, the week of practice was very important. After every practice, a new scout might come up to you, get your name, talk to you a little bit, get your information. So, I just enjoyed everything out there.
Now, turning to the NCAA a little bit, as you leave, one of the hot button issues this week has been some of the rules changes. Two of the bigger ones, the restriction on satellite camps and the deregulation of techs to potential recruits. In your recruiting process, obviously, texting, calls, all that kind of communication had to play a big role. What are your personal thoughts on the new deregulation rule? I know a lot of players, a lot of coaches have had some strong opinions. What are yours from a recruit in the MAC perspective?
Yeah, honestly, it just becomes difficult and more difficult to get exposure and get your name out there. I mean, it's as hard as they can make it. So especially coming from a small town, and especially, coming into the MAC or coming from the MAC, it's already hard to get there in the first place if you're not coming from a big high school or you're not highly recruited. So it definitely hurts.
You said you went to a satellite camp too, right? That's where you for the Northwestern, and you got NIU and Easterns.
Exactly. So it just hurts, a lot of players to get exposure and get their chance to go D1 and get their degree and have it paid for. It just hurts everyone.
Darius, thanks so much. Actually, we're gonna like do a few plugs right here. With that said, I think I'm going to plug actually something football related. SB Nation, their podcast right now with Stephen Godfrey and Bill Connolly, who's doing the rankings for all the teams right now. Today they just put out Central Michigan's. They put out Eastern's a couple weeks ago, but they have a podcast. The podcast ain't played nobody. And today's episode was a lot about the Mid-American Conference. And they started out talking about EMU this, EMU that, and they were comparing Eastern to the rest of the conference and how the Mid-American Conference is probably a better landing spot for a coach's gig than, say, a potential landing spot for someone in the like Sun Belt or even the Mountain West. Like, the MAC overall is doing better than the Mountain West. So I would definitely plug that, listeners, please go listen to that episode. It's pretty good stuff. And Fitz?
I'm going to plug MLB The Show 16. I've had a lot of fun playing it. I know Alex has been playing it. I don't know if Darius has been playing it at all.
Yeah, I played it last weekend. It's
fun. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I played it last
weekend. Listen, if you want to play me, my PlayStation name is I Love the Old Kanye, so you can't forget that. So I will definitely definitely take off you guys in that, and I will lose, like, valiantly.
I don't know. But it's been a lot of fun. I've done a couple road to the shows, one as a pitcher, one as a fielder. And it just sucks being part of the Angels organization.
Oh, man.
All right, Darius, your turn to plug something. Anything you want, man.
Man, I've never had to do this. I'm not even sure.
What are you going to do after this? Let's go with that.
What am I going to do after this? I'm probably going to take a quick nap, honestly, from training all day. I think I'm just going to drink my protein shake and take a nap and go from there.
What kind of protein shakes are you drinking?
Usually just a simple whey protein shake. Nothing crazy, I don't even take it on a consistent basis, honestly. I mean, really, you know, everything's in your diet, so.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And so. There's nothing wrong with plugging naps.
All right, Darius. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck to you the rest of the way, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right. And everyone out there, you can follow him at DJackson_6 on Twitter. But that's about all the time we got today, so thanks for listening. Please subscribe to Tuesday Night Lights any way possible. We'd appreciate it if you just went to the ratings and gave us 5 stars. In return, you will get a 5-star prospect in the next recruiting cycle. So, yay, do that. Good things will happen to you. There's your incentive. Like Hustle Belt on Facebook, on facebook.com/Hustle Belt. You can follow us on Twitter at Hustle Belt, or you can follow Brandon and I individually at ARElvarado13 or at Bronco Fitz. That's about it. Thank you so much and have a great day.